good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
Today's question from one of our listeners is, teach me how to pray.
That's actually an excellent question, because when I read through the scriptures, I don't see very many questions being asked of Jesus, of his disciples, but that is one question his disciples asked of him. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I find that peculiar, because they could have asked him to teach us how to do miracles and teach us how to multiply the fishes and the loaves and teach us how to do many wonderful things. But what they asked him was, Lord, teach us to pray. And I heard one person say that the reason why they asked him that is because what they would see is Jesus go off by himself to pray and leave them to watch. And when he would come back, you know, they'd fallen asleep, of course, but he would come back and they would see him do so many mighty miracles. They understood that the power was not necessarily in the miracles, but the power was when he connected with the Father through prayer. If I could learn how to pray, I could come down from the mountain and cast out the demon from the Father's Son that we couldn't seem to cast out. If I could learn how to pray, I could multiply the fishes and the loaves, because somehow when he lifted it to God and blessed it before the Father, they were able to multiply these things. Every time he connected with his Father through prayer, he was able to do the miraculous. So they didn't ask him for the signs and the wonders and the miracles, but they said, Lord, teach us to pray. What a wonderful question. We are all learning every day how to pray the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous. Prayer is conversation with God. And what you want to do is conversate with God. Talk to God. You don't have to pray like me. You don't have to pray like LJ Renee. You don't have to sound like anyone. But what you want to do is go to your Father God and pray to him out of the sincerity of your heart. When you come to him, remember that he is holy and he is righteous and he is almighty and he is wonderful. So when you come before the majesty of his throne, how about you come humbly before his throne, boldly but humbly? And how about you come in reverence and in worship with thanksgiving? How about you come into his courts with thanksgiving and you bless his name? If you don't know what to say, start with praying back the scriptures. Pray back to him the word that he has left on record for you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I bless the name of God at all times. His praise will always be in my mouth. Prayer is conversation with God. How do you do it? You come into his presence with a heart that is humbled before him, that is pure and right and upright before him. If it is not, you ask for forgiveness and you pray back to him the words he said unto you. Eventually, you will begin to pray your own words, because you'll develop relationship with God, your Father.
I would like to add 2 points to this. And one is in Matthew 6, when they says, teach me how to pray. And he began to start teaching them. And he said, our Father, which art in heaven. I would even suggest to you is to take that scripture and begin to study it and begin to dissect it. And through it, God's going to begin to reveal to you what that prayer means. And secondly, expect an answer from God. Expect that he's going to answer you. Expect that you're going to hear his voice. And you know what I say when I'm praying to God at the end? I said, Lord, I know you heard me and I know you will answer.
Amen. Because they that pray to God must pray in faith, believing that he hears them. And if he hears you, you do have your petition. God bless you and thank you for your question. Happy Resurrection Sunday.
Happy Resurrection Sunday to you and to all those who are listening this morning. We pray that you would have a wonderful day.
Amen. We're going to talk about the good news of the cross, the power of the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jew requires a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews it's a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men."
Amen. And I'm going to read from the Message version. It says, "The message that points to Christ on the cross seems like sheer silliness to those hell-bent on destruction, but for those on the way of salvation, it makes perfect sense. This is the way God works, and most powerfully, as it turns out, it's written, I'll turn conventional wisdom on its head. I'll expose so-called experts as crackpots." So where can you find someone truly wise, truly educated, truly intelligent in this day and age? Hasn't God exposed it all as pretentious nonsense? Since the world, in all its fancy wisdom, never had a clue when it came to knowing God. God, in his wisdom, took delight in using what the world considered dumb preaching of all things to bring those who trust him into the way of salvation. While Jews clamor for miraculous demonstrations and Greeks go in for philosophical wisdom, we go right on proclaiming Christ the crucified. Jews treat this like an anti-miracle and Greeks pass it off as absurd. But to us who are personally called by God himself, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's ultimate miracle and wisdom all wrapped up in one.
Wow.
Human wisdom is so tiny, so impotent, next to the seemingly absurdity of God. Human strength can't begin to compete with God's weakness.
Amen. Amen. That's powerful.
It sure is. I like that.
He says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. It is foolishness.
It's foolishness.
So when you talk about Jesus and you talk about Calvary and you talk about the resurrection of the Lord and people think you're sounding like a fool, that's because they are perishing according to the scripture. But to those who have believed on the power of the cross,
Amen.
The gospel of Jesus Christ, to all of those, the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. I thank God for the power of the cross as we commemorate Easter week and Resurrection Sunday. Every day I am grateful and every day I am mindful that Jesus decided to die for the sins of the world. And when he did that, he included me. I am reminded every single day that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Every day I'm reminded that he demonstrated his wonderful love to me, and that while I was a filthy, no good, stinking sinner, Christ died for me. Every day I look to the cross of Christ, and it is the symbol of victory and liberty in the lives of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. To those who don't believe, who think they are wise in themselves, in the world, it might sound like absurdity and sheer foolishness, But to those who believe, this is nothing but the pure power and wisdom of a resurrected Savior.
I'm so glad. Even when I look upon the cross and you look at the movies of Jesus hanging upon the cross, and even in Isaiah 53, it talks about all the things that he bore. He bore our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he's bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. And when I look at that, everything that is considered sin, it is sin, that it was placed upon him and pent to the cross, the power of the cross. And what it did was it took the power of sin. It took the sting out of death. It took that power that once held us in its grip. With no hope of ever changing, with no help of a Savior. Oh my God, the cross is that one, or the cross is what has saved us and set us free. When Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross, as hideous as it seems and as it is, do you know that it was appointed by God that our sins were placed upon him, that through him, oh my God, that we will be reconciled? How can you live in this world without a relationship with the God who have created you? How could you stand and have hope without the one who have brought you into hope? I mean, just the power of the cross is so significant, even in this day, because you have people who are now, when they look at the cross, they're looking at it as foolishness. They're saying that can't save because it don't fit in my intellect. It don't fit along with my philosophy. That's not what I've been taught. And so they look at it with foolishness. But those of us who know that we were weak, oh my God, those of us that know that we didn't have the strength, those who have experienced the power of God to deliver, we can say that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be?
Amen. Even as many of you are getting ready to go to a service this morning, you are anticipating, even if you don't go frequently or regularly, you're anticipating this day that you got up. And sometimes some people don't even know why they're so excited on Resurrection Sunday to be going to the house of God. Some might be excited because of the new clothes they have, or because of the dinner that they'll have after church. But some are excited and they don't even know why, because they're going to the house of God and they were taught as a child that on this day, apart from any other day in the calendar year, we celebrate a resurrected Jesus. And I am so glad, LJ Renee, when we look to the cross of Christ, Jesus is not still hanging on the cross. I mean, he got up from that cross. The Bible said, first of all, that no man took his life. So as you go to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, please don't misunderstand. Don't think when we talk about how they crucified him, how they hung him high and stretched him wide, and how he hung his head and died. Don't think they took his life from him, but he willingly laid it down. He said, no man even has the ability, the power, or the authority to take his life. We want to celebrate the power of the resurrected Jesus. He rent the veil in two when he died upon the cross. And then he opened up the way unto God. He said, come boldly unto the throne of God. And he said, whosoever will, let him come. It is our symbol of victory. It is our symbol of liberty. Because he died, we can live in Christ.
Oh my God, I'm mindful of that song. It's called The Mercy Tree. I'm telling you, just to listen to the lyrics of that song, just keep you in remembrance of what God has done for you and what he's done for me. And the thing about mercy is a symbolic of his love, his faithfulness, his steadfastness, that he did not consider us. He didn't consider that we were dead and stinking in sin. He didn't consider that. What he considered, it was the joy that was set before him when he was on the cross, because he knew through his suffering and through his death that it was going to reconcile mankind back to God. And therein is the victory. Therein is the liberty, that we no longer have to be restrained, or we have to be under stronghold of the enemy, but through him that we are free, that anything that is a burden to us, that anything that keeps us from having a relationship with God, anything that we find ourselves struggling with, that God is able to bring victory in our lives because of the cross.
You know, I will cherish, as the songwriter said, I will cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction to me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. I cherish that old rugged cross.
My God. And you know another thing about the power of the cross. And when I read in Romans 1 and 16, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then in verse 17, it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And when I read this scripture, first of all, the power of God gives me salvation, in which we've been talking about, to all those that believe. It doesn't matter what color you are. Matter of fact, in the Bible says, by one blood, many nations were made out of that one blood. And so it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek. It doesn't matter if you're black or white, rich or poor. It doesn't matter. He says that those who believe, and then you go down to verse 17. This is what I really like. It says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." If you want to be righteous, if you want to know what the Bible says, if you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to continue to walk in righteousness, he's saying in this gospel, it not only tells you how to walk in righteousness, but it gives you the power to walk in righteousness. This is the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us. He took the blame and bore the wrath, and we stand forgiven at the cross. That is the good news and the power of the cross.
This the power of the cross. Christ became
verse of that song says, "This, the power of the cross, Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross. It is through the cross that we are forgiven of our sins." In Isaiah 53, it says, "He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he is despised, and we esteemed him not." And it talked about that he bore our griefs and carried our sorrow. But you know the part that I really like, when you drop down to the 10th verse, it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong this day, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand."
Amen. It pleased the Lord. And it wasn't that God, enjoyed watching Jesus suffer. It was for the joy that was set before him. Mm-hmm. That's why he endured the cross and despised the shame, because he knew there was coming a day, a resurrection Sunday, when you would glorify his name and I would lift up holy hands, and all of those preparing to get ready would be headed to the house of God to bless the name of Jesus. For the joy that was set before him, he went to that cross. He didn't care about the shame of them spitting on him and tearing away his clothes. He didn't care about the shame of the thorns upon his head and the lashes on his back, but he looked ahead at what this would do, the reward that this would yield, the victory that this would bring. Another part of the power of the cross, the power of the resurrected Christ, is that we can show you a mystery, that we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. We have this same spirit in us that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling in us, and he will likewise raise us up and quicken our mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in us. This is the mystery. This is the power. This is the hope. This is the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, a resurrection soon to come for me, for you, and for all of them that are in Christ Jesus. Don't let it just be a resurrection of Jesus. That is the greatest resurrection ever. But if you don't take advantage of the power of the cross, the resurrection of Jesus to you will have no effect, no meaning, no power. You need to apply the power of the cross to your life so that you likewise can be resurrected with the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns for his church.
Oh my God, even when you are talking about the resurrection power, when you think about when he gave up the ghost on that cross, oh, he said, it is finished. It is done. He says, fait accompli. That's French for saying it is a done deal. Oh my God, that the devil has been defeated. But when I think about it, that it says that Jesus Christ went down into the pit of hell. Oh my God, led captivity captive. And he took the keys of death.
Took them.
Yes, he didn't ask for them. He didn't beg for them. He took them from the enemy, that they will no longer have power over you anymore. So if it's any of you right now that is struggling right now with anything, know that whatever you need, that you have access unto him, that he is able to deliver you. No longer does the devil have power over you. Oh, his power has been canceled.
Destroyed.
Now we be destroyed. And it seems like sometimes that in your life, you might think that the enemy is gaining victory, but I want you to know that God has already defeated the enemy if you only believe.
Hallelujah. And if in case you're wondering or doubting, I get what they're saying, but can Jesus do this? I have a big dilemma. I have a big obstacle. I have a big test in front of me. I want to erase all doubt and eradicate all disbelief and fear. In Matthew 28, I want you to repeat and remember, rehearse, and believe the words that Jesus spake unto his disciples in verse 18. The Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So you can rest assured that we don't just serve a resurrected Jesus that is powerless or defeated, but we serve a Jesus that has been resurrected with all power in his hand. There's nothing impossible, nothing too hard for God to do. So when you go to the house of God to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, celebrate it like he is the risen Savior.
He is.
Celebrate it like he is the King of Kings.
He is.
Celebrate it like he is the Lord of Lords. Celebrate it like all power is in his hand, because he is the risen Savior. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And like he said in Matthew 28:18, all power is in his hands.
All power. What does all mean?
All means all.
Lacking nothing. He said that anything that you need, he said, I got it. All power. It's not a puzzle. It's not that one piece is missing. He's saying everything that you need, he said, you just come to me. He says, and I have the power to give it to you. I have the power to deliver you. I like what you said about it. Twyla says that when you go into the church this morning, and some of you might be wearing your new duds, and that's okay. But oh my God, praise and worship him for the resurrected Savior. Even on his way to the cross, there's no other who shed their blood. Ask them, did Confucius shed their blood?
And the thing is, LJ Renee, even if they had wanted to shed their blood,
they couldn't.
Their blood wouldn't have redeemed you, because he needed a holy sacrifice, blameless before God, without sin. And there was only one.
There was only one.
He looked far and wide and he said he couldn't find one. He became the perfect sacrifice.
He's the Lamb of God.
The Lamb of God.
Yes.
You don't have to kill the lamb anymore. You don't have to put any more blood upon the door. Someone has taken the place
My
of the lamb.
God.
It's Jesus, the great I am. The Bible says scarcely for a righteous man would anybody want to give their life. But even if you wanted to and were willing to, your death wouldn't have the power to bring a gnat back from the dead. Mm-hmm. But his death has the power to bring the dead back to life, to heal the sin-sick soul. So when you go out to church this morning, and if you weren't planning to go, find you a church and go. When you go out to church this morning, remember there is no outfit that's so pretty you can't lift your hands and give him praise. When you remember what he done for you, how filthy, low down, and wretched you were, he's the only one that will deliver you. The only one that can heal you. The only one that can save you. You owe him a glorious praise this morning. You owe him a ridiculous praise this morning, because he has been ridiculously good to you. I mean, every day of my life, he keeps on doing great things for me. Every day of my life, I can't help but to look unto the author and finisher of my faith and give him praise and glory and adoration. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I command my soul to bless the Lord, because he and he alone has saved me.
Oh my God, I am so glad that we have a Savior. That's the reason why I can't be persuaded against this gospel.
Hallelujah.
I can't confess anything else but the Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ. I can't bow my knee to an idol. Oh my God, because I have tasted and I have seen, oh my God, that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see,
hallelujah,
that the Lord is good. So any other excuse, matter of fact, the Bible says there's no other excuse. He says, you know that he is God. If you could just look in the sky and just see the clouds moving, if you can look at the trees and see them wagging back and forth because of the wind, if you can see the sea and see how they ripple, he said, if you can look up in the sky at night and see the constellations of the stars, he said, you have evidence that I am God. Don't you believe the report of the enemy and say that we came to this earth by a Big Bang theory or by a monkey that had been transformed into a human being. What nonsense. But we know that we have been created by the one and true and only living God. And through him, through Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with him. If we look all around us, there is evidence of our God. My God. Matter of fact, it is about redemption. And when I think about that word redemption, you could be struggling with your identity. You can have a disease, but God is able to redeem you. God is able to redeem you from the stronghold of the enemy. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you today, and we honor you for your power. We honor you today, dear Father, for visiting us upon this radio program. And we know that, God, because you're here, you have touched the hearts of many who are listening today. You have excited them, dear Father, and you have brought them.
I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
Hey, I need just a little more Jesus.
I need
Jesus,
I need
to help me along the way.
I need just a little more Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.
Jesus,
I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.